Tonight on the Worldview Weekend Hour, Black Lives Matter and Black Magic. Yep, you heard me right. Tonight, you will hear and see video clips from one of the founders of Black Lives Matter, Patricia Kaluers. In fact, she's wearing a shirt that says Black Magic. You'll hear as she and her friend, who's the co-founder of Black Lives Matter Los Angeles, talk about calling up the spirits of the dead, offering up gifts to the dead. You'll hear them talk about the need to be empowered by these spirits. This is nothing less than occultism. In fact, it's helping to prepare the world for, well, what we've been warning about a long time, the three-legged stool of government, religion, and politics. Government, religion, and politics. Black Lives Matter, Black Magic. They admit it's a spiritual movement. What you need to know is next. Stay tuned. The Worldview Weekend Hour begins right now.
WVW-TV presents the Worldview Weekend Hour with Brannon House. Whether the topic is law, science, government, economics, history, family, social issues, education, or theology, Brannon brings the issues of today into clear focus through the lens of a biblical worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Weekend Hour. Tonight, Black Lives Matter and Black Magic. I know it might be hard to even believe this is true, but you're going to see the video clips, hear the audio tonight. We're going to have to move very fast to get this all in. Now, you notice this is a special broadcast here on September 1st, Tuesday evening. We normally are broadcasting on Sunday nights. If you are watching this tape delayed, you missed it live. Why? Because you're probably not a member of our text alert list. If you'd like to join our text alert list, just simply text WVW to 88202 and you'll be notified whenever we have special programming like this by simply just texting WVW to 88202. Well, Patricia Kaluers is one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter. She admitted on a video, quote, "We are trained Marxist," end quote. But did you know she's also into occultism? Into, I think, what is black magic? In fact, she's wearing a shirt that says Black Magic. We're about to go to some video where she is talking to a lady by the name of Melina Abdullah. Melina Abdullah, her Wikipedia page says that she is the chair of the Department of Pan-African Studies at California State University, Los Angeles, and co-founder of the Los Angeles chapter of Black Lives Matter. Well, their interview starts out, and you'll find it on YouTube, their interview starts out with Patricia Kaluers performing, doing some of her art and performing, as she calls it. I want you to notice, I'm going to go ahead and start playing it. So let's just go to the clip and I'll talk. What she's doing here is reading a prayer. There's audio of her reading a prayer that she wrote, but then she's live acting out something over here on the right side of the screen. What is she doing? Well, first of all, she's wearing some kind of costume or get-up or gown, which is very interesting in itself. But she's writing words on a piece of paper, and then she puts them through a shredder. I'm not sure what she's doing, but if I had to guess, what she's doing is using the power or energies of the mind. This is, I believe, shamanism. A big part of the Wicca religion, occultism, is shamanism, which is the idea of the law of attraction. The power of your mind or your energies to bring about what you want. So what she says she's doing there later in the interview, she's writing words on the page and then she's shredding it, like the police budget, expanding the prison system, these things. So I believe this is nothing more than old-fashioned shamanism, the power of the mind, willing something to be true, and then hoping that it comes to pass. So she's shredding this. Notice she's also lit some candles. She's at what appears to be an altar. And notice also she's praying now. She appears to be praying. She says later that she offered up some incense. We'll find out about that incense. But I want you to notice the what's behind her. What's behind her, that big image there. I believe that is either a phoenix, which is very popular within occultism. A phoenix identifies with the sun, new birth. Or it could be the image of Isis, Mother Earth, Gaia, Osiris. These are all different names for these Egyptian Babylonian gods. So there is extreme occultism here, folks, if you know what it is you're looking at. Now, I began to write on the New Age movement and occultism in 1990. As you know, I have been warning about religion being a major leg of the stool for globalism. I wrote about it extensively in my book, Grave Influence, that I wrote in 2008, came out in 2009. And in this book, I wrote about the father of the New Age, Teilhard de Chardin, Jesuit priest Teilhard de Chardin, the father of the New Age, and how he influenced the leaders at the United Nations. I wrote about one of the major New Age leaders, Helen Schuckman. I wrote about New Age leader Alice Bailey. Schuckman and Bailey, New Age leaders, both channeled entities or demons. The Tibetan for Alice Bailey, Helen Schuckman, claimed to channel Jesus, but not the Jesus of the Bible. So I've been warning about these things. Well, in my first publication, 1990, the New Age is not so new. So I've been studying the occult and occultism and New Age and pagan spirituality a long time and included it with the book, Grave Influence, 21 Radicals Ruling America from the Grave. Why? Because I knew spirituality was going to be a big part of where we were moving to globally. Then I wrote the book in 2012, I believe it was, I wrote Religious Trojan Horse next in 2012, I believe it was. Religious Trojan Horse, again, how religion would be used. I talk about shamanism and the power of the mind and the power of the words as the New Agers practice, and many within so-called, quote, Christianity today, the word of faith, the name and claim it, that's shamanism, New Age, law of attraction. Oprah Winfrey also teaches this along with others. So I was already warning that this is coming into mainstream, quote, evangelicalism, unfortunately, as many more people embrace some of these folks practicing these heretical doctrines. So Grave Influence, Religious Trojan Horse, and then in 2015, I wrote The Coming Religious Reich. In this book, I warn about the Queen of Heaven, Isis, Osiris, the Gaia Earth Worship, Gaia. These would all be the same person in the entity Egyptian Babylonian gods. So I think that's exactly what this symbolism here, as we go back to the screen and look, of these this winged bird, I think would very much represent Isis, occultism. It also represents feminism. It represents the idea of Isis being a protector of the downtrodden, the poor, seeking justice, guarding the dead. Because as you're about to hear, Patricia Kaluers talks about the fact that they are summoning the dead. Summoning the dead and being empowered by the dead. And they admit that Black Lives Matter is a spiritual movement. Again, we're going to have to move very quickly. Let's go to the video and audio.
So as you're talking about our relationship with ancestors, but also, you know, those whose names we speak and those on whose behalf we struggle because their bodies have been stolen, I think what you're saying is a difference between white dominated approaches to those who they consider dead and us. Is that we do feel like when we say the names, right? So we speak their names, we say her name, say their names, we do that all the time, that you kind of invoke that spirit and then those spirits actually become present with you. Right. And so as I was listening to you, there's two pieces in the prayer that really stood out for me with regard to this. One is as your voice breaks, right? When you talk about his family and all of the Black people in Brunswick, Georgia. But two is when you say, and Ahmad, like that's your homie, right? like you're just talking to, you know, your friend that you know that's with you. And I think it really illustrates what it is you're saying, because we do that often. Some of, and maybe I'm sharing too much, but we become very intimate with the spirits that we call on regularly, right? Like each of them seems to have a different presence and personality. You know, I laugh a lot with Waukesha, you know, and I didn't meet her in her body, right? Yeah. I met her through this work. So I just want you to kind of speak to that a little bit.
Well, isn't that interesting? She says, Malina Abdullah says she didn't know that gal when she was here on Earth, but now she knows her. Apparently, again, she's talking to the dead, channeling them. She says, maybe I'm sharing too much. But you know this whole thing now of say their name, say her name. Have you seen this hashtag and people telling you to stick your fist in the air, kind of the black power symbol, and then say their name, say her name. Well, they admit that what they're doing is invoking their name and invoking their spirit. You just heard her say that, okay? So you're also going to find out that many of the Black Lives Matter events start out with an occult practice before they begin. Again, we're going to have to move quickly. There's so much more I could say, but I'm going to have to keep my commentary limited tonight to get through everything we need to get through. Let's go to the next clip.
And as I got older and started to feel and like I was missing something, ancestral worship became really important. And as you know, the Fowler Museum is...
All right, let me just stop right there. Notice what she said. Ancestor worship became very important to her. And she talks about this Fowler Museum that you know she's gone to that encourages this, apparently, and she's going to compliment that. That's what she's talking about. But notice she said that ancestry worship was important to her. Hey, I did a radio show today on, 53 stations live? I've already got an email that my criticizing ancestry worship makes me a racist, that I'm being racist. Now, we know that the Black Lives Matter crowd and these cultural Marxists believe that folks who are into the free market system are racist. Those who are patriotic are racist. Those who believe in the traditional marriage and the patriarchal society or family structure are racist. But now apparently, if you hold to your biblical convictions of what the Bible says about talking to the dead or worshiping the dead or praying to the dead or offering up incense and rituals to the dead or gifts to the dead, that now makes you a racist. So understand what I'm saying. I'm getting emails from folks saying I'm a racist because on my radio show today, I simply disagreed from a biblical perspective on divination, talking to the dead, worshiping the dead, ancestry worship. Do you see the hostility that's going to be coming to those that simply just are practicing their religious beliefs? Now, they can practice theirs, but apparently we can't practice ours. And when we do, we're being racist. Let's go back to the clip.
And as I got older and started to feel like I was missing something, ancestral worship became really important. And as you know, the Fowler Museum is so important because it has a bunch of West African traditional pieces inside that museum. And it was one of the first museums that I went to that was speaking directly to African spirituality. So for me, as we started to lift up the names of our folks in the last 7 years, you know, in some ways, you know, even before Trayvon with Oscar Grant, I started to feel personally connected and responsible and accountable to them, both from a deeply political place, but also from a deeply spiritual place. And always, you know, in my tradition, you offer things that your loved one who passed away would want, you know, whether it's like honey or tobacco, or things like that. And it's so important, not just for us to be in direct relationship to our people who've passed, but also for them to know we've remembered them. I believe so many of them work through us. You know, I remember when Redell Jones was murdered here in LA, and you know, all the fight that went into, you know, trying to get accountability, and then the LAPD commission saying it wasn't within policy. And I remember you calling me and saying she doesn't want us to stand down, and hence, you know, the sit-in of City Hall for
54 days.
54 days. And
all right, notice what she said there. First of all, she said offering up gifts, tobacco, honey, what your ancestor would have appreciated. You offer them that kind of a gift. Then notice she says that her friend, Malina Abdullah, was apparently in contact with someone that had passed away, and she told Melina that she wanted them to continue their sit-in. So apparently, they're talking to the dead, getting instruction from the dead on their social justice maneuvers on behalf of the dead, as well as offering them gifts. Okay, we'll get more into this, but are you getting an idea? Look, this is them saying it, and as Melina Abdullah said a while ago, maybe she's sharing too much. Well, the curtain has been pulled back, and now we realize that Black Lives Matter, by their own admission, is a spiritual movement, as I'll show you on the PowerPoint here in a few minutes. Well, in fact, let me go there now. Look at this PowerPoint right here. This is Patricia Kaluers in this video, and I took the screenshot, wearing a shirt that says what? Black magic. Black magic. Again, this is, I think, what they're practicing. Now, I think this is very interesting because, as you know, I've done a study on brainwashing. 21 hours on brainwashing. You'll find all 21 hours in the Situation Room. I'm currently here in September of 2020 working on a documentary on brainwashing that is going to blow your mind. Pardon the pun. Brainwashing and having your mind blown. But one of the things interesting in my study about brainwashing is that, look at this. This book written by Edward Hunter in 1956. He studied those who were being brainwashed during the Korean War, our prisoners of war, as well as the Chinese during the Communist Chinese Revolution of 1949. He served for 2 years as a propaganda specialist for the Office of Strategic Services during World War II. He writes, "The new word harmowashing, which means brainwashing, entered our minds and dictionaries in a phenomenally short time. This sinister political expression had never been in print anywhere until a few years ago. The word came out of the sufferings of the Chinese people, put under a terrifying combination of subtle and crude mental and physical pressures and tortures. They detected a pattern and called it brainwashing. The Reds wanted people to believe that it could be amply described by some familiar expressions such as education, public relations, persuasion, or by some misleading term like mind reform and re-education. None of these could define it because it was much, much more than any one of them alone. The Chinese knew they hadn't just been educated or persuaded, something much more dire than that had been penetrated on them. Similar in many particular ways to a medical treatment. What they had undergone was more like witchcraft, with its incantations, trances, poisons, and potions, with a strange flair of science about it all, like a devil dancer in a tuxedo carrying his magic brew in a test tube," end quote. My friends, isn't that fascinating? The Chinese folks going through this brainwashing of the communists in 1949 said what they were doing to us was like almost like witchcraft. Well, isn't this interesting? Because what we have being practiced here, I believe, by Black Lives Matter is a form of witchcraft or black magic. And now we see 63% of Americans, according to one survey, think positively about the Black Lives Matter movement. That isn't just simply about Marxism, but is clearly now about, as their own admission, a spiritual movement, occultism, black magic, dare I say a form of witchcraft, or the Wicca religion, the worship of nature and entities in nature, which, by the way, is one of the fastest growing religious systems in America today, the Wicca religion or witchcraft. And yet the Chinese, during the Communist Revolution of 1949, said this brainwashing was almost like they were performing some kind of witchcraft on us. Well, is that what's happening to Americans? Are Americans actually being brainwashed through not just Marxism, but a spiritualism that at its roots is demonic, occultic? Ephesians 6 says that we are warring against spiritual forces, right? So I think that's very interesting to point out. Let's go to our next video clip.
Why would we not honor the people who have been stolen from us and are asking for us to fight for them? Hashtags are, for us, are way more than a hashtag. It is literally almost resurrecting a spirit so they can work through us to get the work that we need to get done.
Whoa. Almost like literally resurrecting spirits to get the work done we need to get done. Again, this is clearly forbidden from Scripture, and this is just pure occultism. But look how many evangelicals are telling us, so-called, that we can't criticize Black Lives Matter. In my documentary, Siege, at siegethemovie.com, I pointed out that neo-Calvinist John Piper, who, sadly, many of your pastors love and quote from the pulpit all the time, is on audio telling us not to criticize Black Lives Matter. Joel Osteen has marched with Black Lives Matter, reportedly Max Licato and others within evangelicalism are signing up with and defending Black Lives Matter, dragging not just Marxism into the church, because again, she's admitted they are trained Marxists, Patricia Kluwers, but they're really dragging, I believe, this occultism, this whole system of a political and spiritual movement by their own admission. And what is it doing? What it's doing, I believe, is building a false religious and political system that is setting the stage for, well, their words, not mine, a new world order. Now, we shouldn't be shocked by this, because if you read my books, The Coming Religious Reich, you will see that Pope Francis is big into Gaia Earth worship. He's one of his speech writers is into Earth worship, Gaia Earth worship, that wrote one of his encyclicals on Agenda 21 and sustainable development. We know that many of the New Agers are into this as well. Much of the environmentalist movement, this is what this is about. Stephen Rockefeller and Mikhail Gorbachev, a former head of the USSR, working together for Agenda 21 in Rio in the early 90s. We know Stephen Rockefeller had the alternative to the Ten Commandments, the Ark of Hope, which was a New Age replica like that of the Ten Commandments, but had these environmental initiatives in them. The point I'm making is we have already seen for several decades radical environmentalism wrapped in earth worship, Mother Earth, Gaia Earth worship. This is what the Wicca religion is. So when you practice what they're practicing, it's not just talking to the dead, it is giving spiritual entities into nature and contacting entities as well, and believing in the idea of Mother Earth and paganism. It's all connected, and it's setting up a political and spiritual religious system that is moving us toward globalism. This is in their writing, not mine. I'm just reporting what these nuts write about, and Black Lives Matter is helping further it. But you were told it was just a political agenda. No, by their own admission, it's a spiritual agenda. It's occultism is what it is. Let's go to the next clip.
As we talk about ancestral work, I would like us to kind of, for me, it almost seemed like my spiritual work in Black Lives Matter, even though I lived in the same body and didn't like pretend like we weren't doing, you know, I never abandoned who I was spiritually, but it took almost a year for me to realize that when we come out into the streets and we pray, you know, the first thing that we do when we hear of a murder is we come out, we pray, we pour a libation, we build with the community where the person's life was stolen. And it took almost a year for me to realize that this movement is much more than a racial and social justice movement. At its core, it's a spiritual movement.
She says that when we find out that someone's been killed in the movement, they pray and they pour libations. What is that? Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines libation as an act of pouring a liquid as a sacrifice as to a deity. So again, a while ago, Patricia Kluwers says, hey, we're offering them up the things that they would want your dead relative, like honey or tobacco. Malina Abdullah says, hey, when we get together, we often start with prayer. When we go to one of these events or rallies or where something has happened and we're doing our political functions, we combine it with the spiritual movement and offer up libations. Again, an act of pouring a liquid as a sacrifice to a deity. Let's go back to the next clip.
Was there a moment for you where you recognized that, and I know you always had the spiritual practice. I remember like when we first started, I remember us going to the ocean and doing these rituals and really feeding our spirit, but I don't remember it being so deeply embedded in all that we did in 2013 as opposed to where we came in 2014. Was there a moment for you where you realized, wait a minute, this is all one thing?
Yes. pre-BLM, I remember when I was doing an organizing training for a year in 2005 to 2006. And one thing that I felt was incredibly vacant was the conversation on spirituality and our movements. And it confused me because I was like, how am I not talking about spirit and spirituality? And I actually co-wrote with a few of us around the spirituality question. And is there room in our movements for spirituality? So I was already very much interested in that conversation. I think when we developed BLM, it crystallized for me. And I think we all also knew that we needed more spiritual protection as we started to be more targeted.
Wow, she's admitting it's a spiritual movement. It's been going on for some time. They've written papers on it. They've talked extensively about it, and they needed spiritual protection. So apparently, again, they're calling on these entities for spiritual protection. Well, who would be coming against them? Apparently, those who are not for Marxism, those who are not for occultism, those who are not for their cultural Marxist revolution, I guess we're coming against them. And what are they relying on? Apparently, for protection, they're relying on the spiritual realm to protect them and their movement from those of us that oppose them. I mean, that's all that one could come to the conclusion of based on common sense, right? Let's go to the next clip.
You know, my homegirl, Heba Farag, who works out of the USC, I don't know what the center called, but for religious center, I forget. But she wrote an article years ago about the spirituality inside of our movement. She just recently wrote another one that I'll make sure to send to folks. And it was just like, the title is basically like, spirituality is at the center of Black Lives Matter. And I think that's not just for us. I feel like so many leaders and so many organizers are deeply engaged in a pretty important spiritual practice. I don't think I could do this work without that. I don't think I could do it as long as I've done it.
All right, so notice she cites the article of her friend, Heba Farag. All right, let's go to this PowerPoint here. Here is a screenshot of that article written in July 3rd. The fight for Black Lives Matter is a spiritual movement written by Heba Farag, July 3rd, 2020. She writes, a circle of flowers forms a sanctuary honoring the space where George Floyd was murdered by police. According to residents I talked to, like Larry Holderfield, the inner sanctum of that circle of flowers is referred to as a, quote, church, end quote, by the community. Inside the ring, messages like, quote, we are human, end quote, quote, together we rise, and quote, take care of each other, end quote, are etched in multicolored chalk. So again, notice this is their church. Mourners enter the inner sanctum as if entering a holy space. They quiet themselves, they kneel, they cry, they sit in silence to reflect and grieve. The sites where Black people are killed by police often become altars, sacred spaces to mourn Black death. Now this is all under the heading, the fight for Black lives is a spiritual movement. She continues, Malina Abdullah, the one that's been interviewing Patrice Galours, chair of the Department of Pan-African Studies at California State University, Los Angeles, and co-founder of Black Lives Matter LA, opened the event explaining that while the movement is a social justice movement, it is first and foremost a spiritual movement. George Floyd, Azay, and then they list all these names, and after each name, they recite this. As each name is recited, Dr. Abdullah poured libations on the ground as the group of over 100 chanted Azay. I guess that's how you say it. A Yoruba term often used by practitioners of, I think it's Ifa, a faith and divination system that originated in West Africa. In return, this ritual, Dr. Abdullah explained, is a form of worship. Let me just stop right there for a minute. I looked up this faith that they're following out of West Africa. It's nothing more than a form of the New Age movement. They believe in reincarnation and all kinds of things. So again, this is where they're coming from. They're openly admitting this is what they do, that this is a spiritual movement. It's steeped in occultism. Why does all this matter? Because as I laid out in my book, The Coming Religious Reich, this is exactly how they're going to end up with a world system per Revelation 17 and 18 in Babylon, 58 miles south of Baghdad, where they will have a world government. I think that's where we're going. In fact, as I document in my book, The Coming Religious Reich, some folks at the Army War College have openly said the United Nations should be moved to Babylon, 58 miles south of Baghdad, if we want to stabilize the Middle East and truly bring world peace. Well, Revelation 17 and 18 speaks to this very issue. It speaks to this very issue of a world religious system known as the Mother of Harlots, based on a Babylonian religious system that revolves around Nimrod. Genesis 10 and 11 speak of him. He's becoming mighty on the earth, Tower of Babel. His wife Semiramis is in Babylonian history, the son Tammuz. This is all Babylonian history. But this is all how you go from Genesis 10 and 11 and the Tower of Babel. And then you go all the way to Revelation 17 and 18. We have the Mother of Harlots. And who is the mother? Babylon. Who is the Mother of Harlots? Babylon. What is the religious system based on? Pantheism, all is God. Panentheism, God is in all. Gaia, earth worship. Mother Earth. Occultism. So this is important because tons of people are thinking that they're joining a political movement, but they're joining a spiritual movement that is deeply connected to all of the isms that will make up, well, again, their word, not mine, the New World Order. Their words, not mine. Let's go back to the article. The movement for Black Lives works towards the goal of not just racial justice, but freedom of the mind and spirit. It encourages healing justice so that people can heal from trauma and engage as the best version of themselves. The movement infuses a syncretism, if you will, a blend of African and indigenous cultures, spiritual practices and beliefs, embracing ancestral worship, Ifa-based rituals such as chanting, dancing, and summoning deities. Well, that's what they're doing. They've already told you that. And healing practices such as acupuncture, Reiki, therapeutic massage, and plant medicine in much of its work, including protest. Okay, now Reiki. I deal with Reiki extensively in my book, Religious Trojan Horse. I think it was Dr. Oz and many others who recommend Reiki. So again, there's hardly anything these people aren't doing, are talking about, or promoting that we haven't written about. That we haven't talked about. You're more than well prepared, those of you that have been following this organization for 15 years or more, you're more than prepared, based on our research and study together as a group, to know exactly what they're talking about. So here's the headline in another article. The role of spirituality and prayer in the Black Lives Matter movement. Abdullah is asked, or she's asked a question, do you remember how the movement shifted into a more spiritual direction? Abdullah says, absolutely, there was always some component of spirituality. So I think about the first night that we gathered and the summoning of ancestors to space and the very palpable spiritual energy that circulated through the group as we stood in a circle at St. Elmo Village, which is probably one of the most spiritual places in the city. It's a Black artist and organizing community in mid-city, and we stood under the moon and pledged to build a movement. And then we asked people to call on a bloodline or spirit, she goes on later in the article to say. We asked people to call on a bloodline or spirit line ancestor in their own lives. So your grandmother, great-grandmother, or grandfather, uncle, and you call those names. We usually have whoever's pouring the libation. What is a libation again? It's a sacrifice to a deity. We have whoever's pouring the libation say the name and have the entire crowd repeat the name. And then we say the word, as hey, which is a Yoruba word that means amen. And that's how we open all of our Black Lives Matter demonstrations and gatherings, end quote. Did you hear that? You think you're watching political functions? No, they're not just political functions. They're also spiritual by their own admission. Again, Malina Abdullah interviewing Patrice Kalours of Black Lives Matter.
If we were in person, I think we could interpret it more clearly, but what is it that you're shredding? What words are you writing and shredding?
So I shredded LAPD budget.
Good. Let's do that in real life. Yes.
You are more than welcome to socially distance here in the gallery and shred. So I shredded the LAPD budget, I shredded the LASD budget, I shredded jails, I shredded prisons, I shredded white racism, and I shredded police.
And I don't think we need that to be interpreted, but let's do it. Why did you shred those things?
Sure, I mean, so much of this moment right now is a conversation about funding and abolishing systems that have been in place that have literally been to kill Black people, kill, maim, brutalize, humiliate, torture. As we saw Miriam Kappa's op-ed in the New York Times, yes, when we say defund, we literally mean abolish.
Wow. When we say defund, we literally mean abolish. So when they say defund the police, folks, you just heard it right there. They mean abolish the police. And of course, they go on to say in the interview, I won't take the time to play it, but they go on to say in the interview that what they're doing is freeing up the funds for redistribution of wealth. We don't want to spend the money on the police. We want to spend it on social justice programs. So take the money away from the police and redistribute that in social justice programs. Part of the reason they think that this is successful is because many of these people obviously are against the police for the fact that they think that these are institutions started specifically to kill and torture Black people. You just heard her say that. Criminals obviously are opposed to the police. And what do you have in the street when you have anarchists? You have criminals. But also, from a Marxist standpoint, they do not believe in original sin or the depravity of man. They believe man is a product of his environment. So if you want to end crime, end poverty. Because the only reason people are involved in crime is because of their poverty. Now, sadly, this is also the trash that is spoken by cultural Marxist Tim Keller, as I document in my book, Marxianity. I have him on video teaching that kind of trash. And yet, Tim Keller is one of the founders of the Gospel Coalition. Tim Keller is one of the founders of the Gospel Coalition, which has promoted Black Lives Matter, which has promoted reparations, which is a radical Marxist group, in my opinion. The Gospel Coalition. Tim Keller founded it. And yet it is in thousands and thousands and thousands of churches. And would you be shocked that John Piper is working with the Gospel Coalition, yet is the one telling us we shouldn't criticize Black Lives Matter? So the point is, these ideologies have penetrated mainstream evangelicalism. Not the mainline churches, although they were gone a long time ago. This has penetrated mainstream evangelicalism through groups like the Gospel Coalition and Tim Keller, who, again, I document in Marxianity, talks about the fact the reason these kids are involved in crime is because of their poverty. Now, that is a Marxist 101 concept. If you want to end crime, end poverty, and they'll have no reason to commit crime. Yet, we have seen that some of the largest mass murderers, criminals in world history have been very rich people. Stalin, Mussolini, Hitler. I mean, we could go on and on. They had multiple homes. They had all the wealth and material things they could ask for or want and governments at their disposal. Did that stop them from being cruel, wicked people who broke the law, the laws of nature, nature's God? No. But the reason they wanted to get rid of the police, and one, there's many reasons, but one is they want to use those funds, as they describe in this interview, to redistribute the wealth. Very interestingly, Martin Luther King Jr. also taught that same idea. Let's bring the boys home from Vietnam and stop fighting the communists so we can redistribute the wealth and the money being spent on the war to defeat the communists, we can redistribute through social programs. I deal with that and document that teaching of Martin Luther King Jr. in my movie Sabotage at sabotagethemovie.com. Interesting enough, Martin Luther King Jr., as I document in the book Marxianity, was surrounded by communists, Levison and Odell. So, of course, Martin Luther King Jr. wanted to bring the troops home from Vietnam fighting the communists. His right-hand men were communists, Levison and Odell. This is highly documented. This is why Robert Kennedy started wiretapping his phone. This is why President Kennedy took him for a walk in the Rose Garden and said, get rid of Levison and Odell. They are communists. You're going to destroy the whole civil rights movement. He wouldn't do it. So King was doing the same thing they're doing. These folks are saying get rid of the police and we'll use that money for redistribution of wealth. King was saying bring the guys home from fighting the communists and we'll take that money and redistribute the wealth. Nothing's really changed, folks, if you know history.
Repetition feels really important in all of my practice, my art practice and my political practice. I think when we repeat something, it means something differently. It feels different each time. I'm a big fan of like sounds, smells, sight, all at once. Obviously there's no smells because you're not here, but I burned Palo Santo at the end.
Now, you notice she says, Patricia Kaluers, in one of those clips there, that she offered up incense. And she specifically said the kind of incense that she offered up. Look at this screen here. This screen comes from, as you can see, Wiccan supplies. For Wiccans, pagans, and those who practice witchcraft in the occult, burning incense is a common practice. Then I went to this website. It's a Luciferian occult website on incense. Fumigation is the ancient act of burning incense as an offering to a deity or spirit. Well, she said in the video clip that she specifically was burning the incense, Palo Santo. Palo Santo. Well, look at this I found in my research today. OprahMag.com, the Oprah magazine. 10 Palo Santo benefits people swear by. Translated from Spanish as holy wood, the tree has been used for centuries for its supposed cleansing properties. Oprah's magazine says there's no question all things energetically cleansing are having a moment right now despite their roots in ancient history. Think working with crystals, New Age crystals, and burning sage, for example, along with one you may not have tried yet, Palo Santo. Quote, in the shamanic history of South America, so this is shamanism. Shamanic history of South America, Palo Santo is said to remove negativity and obstacles and attract good fortune. So you use this to cleanse any space's energy. But what does Palo Santo allegedly do? It's healing. And spiritual traits, medical or medicinal, and spiritual traits and abilities have been known and used for thousands of years, says Allison Charles, a shaman. Seer and TV host, a shaman, that's a witch doctor. It can help other things like inflammatory, but perhaps is best known and used for its spiritual and energy cleansing and clearing abilities. So again, it all goes back to the idea of energies and energy powers and using these energies. And isn't that what they're trying to get when they communicate with the dead? They've told us that they're using this to get power and energy from the dead for their movement. Now, the Bible tells us that in the last days, people will follow the doctrines of demons, that there will be a great falling away from traditionally held spiritual truths, and that people will follow the doctrines of demons. This is the doctrine of demons right here, folks. And Black Lives Matter is not just a political movement. It is, in fact, as they've said, a spiritual movement. And who's promoting it? Some of the biggest names within so-called Christianity or so-called evangelicalism. Now, look at this picture here again I want to show you. Patrice Kaluers, co-founder of Black Lives Matter, in the video, we saw her before what can clearly be described, I think, as an altar. She's lit the candles. She's talked about burning that incense. She's been shredding documents in that paper shredder she has hanging from the ceiling, writing down things and shredding it. Again, I think that goes along with the law of attraction. This is, again, something that shamans do. The law of attraction is big in the world of the shaman. Again, I talk about that extensively in my book, Religious Trojan Horse, because when Oprah Winfrey talks about the law of attraction, as she has, and so some so-called evangelicals actually released a video a few years ago on the Christian version of the law of attraction. Wait a minute. Oprah Winfrey, a New Ager, is promoting the law of attraction or the power of your words, something that shaman do. And yet some so-called Christians came along, developed a video on, oh, well, the power behind the law of attraction is really God. So now they're going to attribute to God occult practices. Well, this is exactly what we see going on in the world today, as they take something like transcendental meditation, the old name being yoga, meaning yoke or union with a Hindu god. Why would you want to do that? Making the natural world dissolve and entering the spiritual world. And now we're going to Christianize it and call it Christian yoga. And that's what they do. So again, the Bible tells us there'll be this great falling away from traditionally held biblical truths and chasing after the doctrines of demons. And this helps build a false church. But where is this false church taking us? I think it's taking us right to Revelation chapter 17, verse 1, the harlot that sits on many waters, who is not to be confused with the woman that rides the scarlet beast. The woman that rides the scarlet beast in Revelation 17, 1 is Babylon, the beast being the Antichrist in his world system. So she's described as a woman riding a scarlet beast. In Revelation 17, 1, we're, however, told about a harlot that sits on many waters. I believe, as I describe extensively in my book, The Coming Religious Reich, that that is a false dominant global world church. That false dominant global world church will be based on the very things coming out of most of evangelicalism today. Mysticism, Gnosticism, hidden knowledge, Christian yoga, belief in New Age practices. And then it's coming out of the secular world too, quote, secular world. But that's not secular. They've already admitted it's highly spiritual. It's coming out of political movements. Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, they for years promoted and went to a retreat in the Carolinas that was nothing more, nothing less than New Age teaching. Some of the biggest faces and names in the world now are into spiritualism. The old slogan, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. And most all of this is tied back to New Age. Cosmic humanism is another word for it. New Age teachings. Spirit entities. Pantheism. All is God. Panentheism. God is in all. God is in nature. Gaia. Earth worship. Gaia is another word for Isis. And notice again in the picture, this bird on the wall. What is that? Well, I contend that it's probably Isis, but it could be a phoenix, because notice what they have over there, witch's lure, phoenix. The mystical phoenix is an Arabian bird with brilliant red and gold feathers, which burns itself on a pile of incense every 500 or 1,000 years. From this, a new bird rises from the ashes, symbolizing renewal and transformation, perfect for spells and rituals where change is the intention. The phoenix represents the sun and growth. You know what's very fascinating about that? A well-known magazine talks about how around, I think it was 2018, the world would go to a new currency called the phoenix. And on the cover of this magazine was a phoenix, or this bird, rising out of a pile of burning global currencies. And the new currency would be called the phoenix. And they thought it would come about in 2018. But I find it interesting that the idea of a global currency that's coming up out of a pile of not burning incense, but a pile of burning currencies would be called the phoenix. The phoenix is very popular within occultism. In fact, I did not know this until my research today because I don't ever follow Harry Potter, but apparently one of the Harry Potter movies was Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. So as I researched, I found that the phoenix is very popular in the occult world. However, I think it's more probable that that bird and those wings on the wall there behind the altar of Patricia Kalours, I think that's exactly what it is, an altar where she's offering up her incense to the deities, is Isis. I think it's more likely Isis. Now, let me read to you from my book, The Coming Religious Reich, that came out in 2015. This would be page 101. I think this will bring it all home. These people come from a very identifiable lineage. According to Genesis 10:6, Noah's son, Ham, had a son named Cush. And Genesis 10, verse 8, explains that Cush begot Nimrod, and that Nimrod began to be a mighty one on the earth. Then Genesis 10:10 delivers the punchline, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, in the land of Shinar, that'd be Iraq. Fortunately, we can look at some sources outside of the Bible. Other historical documents that provide more information about this phase of history. The Jewish historian Josephus is especially helpful. Josephus wrote quite a bit about the Tower of Babel and Nimrod, and he explains that one of the reasons Nimrod's people built the Tower of Babel was that they were rebelling against God. Nimrod's war against God is a reminder of a more recent against God warrior, of course, named Karl Marx. Marx wrote the Communist Manifesto in 1848. What has Patrice Kalours admitted? We're trained Marxists. I write on page 101 in 2015 of The Coming Religious Reich. It was Marx that declared, quote, my object in life is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism, end quote. So Marxism at its root, folks, is based on occultism, the hatred of God, to dethrone God. What was the Tower of Babel? The desire to be as God, to rebel against God there in Babel, Shinar. And it's all going right back there in Iraq, 58 miles south of Baghdad. Revelation 17 tells us, in 18. So I write, lots of people, it seems, have been waging war against God, albeit unnecessarily for a long time. Josephus adds a fascinating detail to his recounting of the Babel story. He explains that one reason the people of Shinar built the tower was to make it so high the floodwaters would not be able to reach them. That way, if God were to change his mind and destroy the earth using a flood again, these folks could pat themselves on the back and say, we outsmarted God this time. We got a tower so high that the floodwaters won't reach up here, end quote. Now, this would be what I would say that they were saying back, and this is based on Josephus, ancient Jewish historian, saying one of the reasons maybe they built this big tower was so that God could not get them again with a flood. So again, they're just the relatives here, descendants of Noah. They would know all about the flood. I go on to explain this strange mix. To give you the rest of the story, the mythology that developed around Nimrod reveals much of the heart of this religious system. According to the story concocted by his wife Semiramis. Now remember, Nimrod is mentioned in the Bible. Semiramis is not, but she is mentioned as the queen of heaven. We also know that Tammuz is their son. He's mentioned in the Bible because the Israelites fall into the worship of that. But according to the story concocted by his wife Semiramis, Nimrod dies and travels to the sun to become the sun god. Her goal is deifying her husband. And she was the queen of Babylon. Remember, another name for her, Semiramis, is Isis. I think that's what you're seeing. And Isis is big in feminism and occultism and the protection of the poor or the downtrodden. So again, she's deifying her husband that she, the queen of Babylon, wanted to retain her power. So she tells the people Nimrod has become the sun god and has impregnated her via a sunbeam. It's a virgin birth of sorts. You see, what Satan's doing here is concocting a false gospel story. This is, again, a fake story before, again, the coming of Jesus through the virgin birth. And Satan's already concocting a fake story. It's a virgin birth of sorts, but she's not a virgin. In fact, Semiramis was a seriously immoral person. Tammuz, the child born to Semiramis, is said to be the reincarnation of Nimrod. So the son that she gives birth to is supposed to be the reincarnation of Nimrod, the sun god. So you have the sun god coming through his wife to be their son, the son of God. You get it? Satan's creating a false system here. At this point in the Babylonian myth, Tammuz is considered to be God incarnate and becomes the object of great worship. Later, he is killed, according to mythology, by a wild boar. And Semiramis, also Isis, or other names as well, Gaia, Mother Earth, Semiramis weeps for her son for 40 days. Then he's resurrected. This takes place in the early spring, right around Easter. The timing, unfortunately, provides the source of our word Easter, which is really Ishtar, another word for Semiramis. The term comes from the name Ishtar, the Babylonian god of fertility. Much of what we use to celebrate some of these holidays we have here in America come from Babylonian religious systems. I conclude on page 103. The history of the name Semiramis also adds a twist to our strange intermingling of pagan practices. In the Bible, she was also referred to as Ashtaroth. Other names include the Queen of Babylon, Venus, Aphrodite, Diana, Isis. And again, I think that's who's on the wall here. Gaia, Mother Nature, Queen of Heaven. And so again, why is this important? Because as I explained in my book in 2015, The Coming Religious Reich, much of this is leading us right back to Babylonian religious systems that will be once again the mother of harlots. Who's that? Babylon. Where did this begin? Babylon, Genesis 10. Where will it end? Babylon, 58 miles south of Baghdad, a religious system based around this Babylonian occultic system. And who is dragging this right into the mainstream? The New Agers. Who's dragging this right into the mainstream? A political movement that's now respected by 63% of adults, according to surveys. Black Lives Matter, Patricia Kaluers. This is a spiritual movement. It is occultism. That's exactly what they're doing. Now, my friends, how many people will tell you this? How many people will do the homework or have been studying this for 30 years since 1990? and will bring this kind of program to you and help you understand that at the root of everything is someone's worldview. Your worldview is the foundation of your values, and your values is the foundation of your conduct. And Ephesians 6 has told us this is a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual movement by their own admission. And the Bible says, as I've already told you, that in the last days, in the latter days, people will follow deceiving spirits and demons and the doctrines of demons. And who is affirming this? Sadly, many so-called evangelicals. What are they really building? A false church. But if you speak out against this, what are you? You're intolerant. Oh, you're worse than that. My emails today say that my radio show on this means I'm a racist. So my friends, we're to the point in time when those of us who stand up for truth, for biblical truth, well, we're going to be called racist simply for standing for what is in the Bible. It also says in the Bible that they will kill you thinking they're doing service to God. A false church is going to be involved in this. And these priests and priestesses of feminism. I have a whole chapter in this book on feministic Gnosticism. Isn't that interesting? I have a whole section on feministic Gnosticism. What is Gnosticism? Hidden knowledge. What are these LGBTQ feminists trying to do here, folks? And they're trying to destroy the family. Black Lives Matter says they're against the nuclear family. They are feminists. And the feminist movement and the Marxist movement is inextricably linked. I write about that in Grave Influence. But I have a whole section on feministic Gnosticism. I wrote this book in 2015 because I knew that these movements were rising and the Wicca religion was rising. And I knew that many people need to be aware of how these movements were intertwined spiritually and in the occult. Feministic Gnosticism. Gnosticism, hidden knowledge. One way they gain knowledge is through the occult and occult practices, as well as talking to these entities. And these entities give them the energies and the direction. They're being empowered with hidden knowledge from demonic entities that they think are their ancestors or these people that have died that they're now fighting for. What they're really doing is they're communicating with demons. If they're really sitting there laughing and talking with these entities as they claim, as you heard tonight, they're talking to demons. Just as Helen Schuckman, as I reveal in my book, Grave Influence, talked to a demon. She called Jesus and wrote really what is the Bible of the New Age, A Course in Miracles. Or Alice Bailey talking to the Tibetan, a demon, who, by the way, Alice Bailey went on to influence many of the leaders at the United Nations. So you can see once again how this is all global and pushing us to a global system and movement. And Black Lives Matter is not a political movement, first and foremost. It is a spiritual movement, and it is going to further the destruction of biblical Christianity, Judeo-Christian worldview in America and the West, and move people not only toward Marxism, the goal of Karl Marx to dethrone God, but it'll also move them toward the rebellion of God through the embracing of a spirituality that at its root is Babylonian-based and goes right back to Babel in Iraq, as Revelation 17 and 18 says, we're going toward. Now, for my regular audience, this is all very understandable. We've been talking about it for years. If you're new tonight and your head is swimming, the good news is we have resources on our website at wvwtv.com/store, like my book, The Coming Religious Reich, which again will explain this in great detail so you can understand what is happening and why. But most importantly, I would say to you, if you're watching tonight, you need to understand there is a spiritual battle going on. You need to understand there is a false Christ that's being promoted and a false gospel. But I also want to tell you there is a real Christ who laid down his life as a ransom for sinners. And you don't have to go to church to be guaranteed heaven. You don't have to give any amount of money. You don't have to do anything except believe and trust in the name of the real Christ, the real Jesus. Place your faith and trust in Christ alone, and he has promised he'll forgive all of your sins, and you'll have a guaranteed place with him in heaven forever and ever. Yet sadly today, many of our religious groups in America have made salvation so very complicated. The occult and the New Age have made it a false system, but many within evangelicalism have made it a works-based system. But the Bible says, not by works, lest any man should boast. It's a free gift of God. So tonight, if you're watching and you're new to this, and this is all of interest to you, I'm happy it is. But first and foremost, just as they have a spiritual movement, we have a spiritual movement. and our spiritual movement is that you would come to understand that, yes, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if you place your faith and trust in Christ, he will take on your filthy rags and trade it for his righteous life. The righteous life of Christ that he lived here on earth will be imputed or credited to your account, banking terms, which is why Christ said on the cross, "It is finished. I've paid the debt if you just simply will place your faith and trust in me." Folks, it's heating up a spiritual battle. What side are you on? You're going to have to pick a side. I hope you'll choose the side that guarantees eternal life. Well, if you appreciate what we're doing here, folks, and the research and this special broadcast, we can't make it without you. This is a listener-supported broadcast network. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, you can do that at wvwfoundation.com. wvwfoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address online if you prefer to give by check. You'll find our phone number there if you prefer to give by phone. However you give, thank you. We are a listener-supported broadcast network. Till next time, I'm Brandon House. Take care.